I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
All right, twice in one day. Now, this is going to be different because what I understand is a lot of people couldn't get the press conference, so I cut it up as best I could. I don't know if I'm supposed to do this, and if my channel gets taken down, it's what it is. I love you, but I'm going to do a little bit different than most podcasts that we typically do. I'm going to play a lot of clips. So I'm going to go through. I've got about 20 clips from the actual press conference itself. And I'll play those and we'll just go through those. So a little bit less John Chapman, a lot more Kyle Shanahan, and a lot more John Lynch. So let's talk about that. And let's start off with Kyle Shanahan. And the first kind of questions were around Nick Sorensen and DC moving on from Nick Sorensen, what that looks like and all that stuff. So here is Kyle Shanahan just on what it was like and why they chose to move off from Nick Sorensen.
Yeah. First of all, it was a real tough decision. I love Nick as a person and I love him as a coach. Still trying to hope to keep him on board in another capacity because he's a guy I don't want to lose. But just where we're at really as a team. Where I think we need to go. There's a lot of big decisions ahead for us, and as hard as it is for me to come to this conclusion, but I feel there's some options out there that can end up being a better option in the situation that we're in for our team. And when really it comes down to that, you know, the position I'm in, regardless of anything else, that's always the stuff I got to go with. So it was a real tough decision for me, and I'm still hoping that we can keep Nick here, but I do feel.
Now, and he goes into that a little bit more about hoping that he could keep Nick Sorensen here, but the idea that it's a tough situation, it's all that kind of stuff that's going on. Now, what I think is interesting is why did you move on from the coordinator now, and what's the difference between the past years? Because now the 49ers will have basically four defensive coordinators in four consecutive years, right? You had DeMeco, he left, and you had Wilkes, then you had Sorensen. Now you're going to get a new DC. What's the difference between having a new DC now and going through that hiring process versus the past years?
I don't believe anything went wrong in the process. I think I'll tell you what, it's more opportunistic or easier process talking about it right now and whatever the date is today. It's a little bit harder in February, which the last two were in. Just, you know, being the last team to finish last year and before that, being the second to last team to finish makes it a lot different. So there's more opportunities out there and planning on looking into all of them.
Yeah, I think that's huge. Is it probably one of the biggest reasons I wanted to move on from Sorensen was, you know, he was the last hired defensive coordinator last year. So 31 out of 32 teams were filled. You were kind of stuck. And they tried going after the big fish, Spags, Belichick, didn't work out, Ulbrich. But now it's different. And so here's the thing that I think is interesting is not only are you looking at new defensive coordinators, but now you're trying to juggle the fact of keeping Nick Sorensen, despite having already told him and the team that you've lost your DC job. So Shanahan was asked, what's that going to be like having Nick Sorensen being demoted, but still in the building players? What's that like?
I don't know. I haven't done it before. I'm sure it is a challenge. It has to do with, is that something that you want to do? Is it something you're comfortable with? I know our building would be comfortable with it. I know our players would be comfortable with it. This was a tough year, but Nick didn't lose any respect or anything like that from any of our players or our coaches. And I think if you talk to anyone, whether it's with you guys in the media or it's just one-on-one, he's got a lot of respect for people from people here, and everyone does think he's a good coach. You know, I spent these last 2 days having exit interviews. It's been, you know, to go through these 2 days where all I do is just talk to people and you talk to everybody. Lots of good feedback on Nick, and I think the guys would be real excited if he was here next year.
Probably one of the biggest differences between Steve Wilks to Nick Sorensen, the players were so done with Steve Wilks halfway through. Nick Bosa, Fred Warner both came out, kind of bashed him in press conferences. Shanahan bashed Wilks in press conferences. Sorensen, nobody said anything negative, despite having, I would argue, the worst defensive coordinator job in the history of the NFL. I've been debating this on Twitter, and shout out to Johnny Dale. I think we kind of both agree. Like, it's definitely a bottom three of the last 30, 40 years of 49ers. And to go from a prominent to terrible defense in 1 year is very rare. And probably one of the biggest issues I have, and we'll get through this, it's a little later down the road, is how much everybody kept talking about injuries, namely Kyle, namely John. Those are the only two guys there, but it was kind of their answer for a lot of different things. Now, Kyle was asked, like, are you willing to change the defensive scheme with a new coordinator?
Love the scheme that we've had here. I think it's one of the hardest things to go to when you got the right guys in the right spots. But I do think people adjust to schemes, and I think you have to adjust too, depending on your personnel. And I think that was a tougher thing for us this year. Just going into the season, it was a little bit harder than past seasons. And some of the injuries we had, I think, made it really tough for Nick. And I thought he got better trying to adjust and do different things. But I do think that's something that definitely, I'm not saying you got to change schemes, but you have to have the ability, the history, and the knowledge of how to change some stuff up when you're in some certain situations. And I think that we do need that more going forward.
There you go. I mean, Kyle is not saying anything negative about anybody. And I don't think that he did. I don't think there was any throwing under the bus. I don't think there was any of that. It's just, man, we didn't get the job done. Injuries. We didn't get the job done. Kind of came across a lot. Now he was asked, do you have like one or two guys? There's a report. Josina Anderson came out today saying the 49ers are expected to give an offer to Robert Saleh if he doesn't get one of his two head coaching interviews. So the Jags for sure for Robert Saleh, but there's also another team that's being leaked that he's probably going to be interviewing as head coach. But if he doesn't get those two, the 49ers expect to offer him a job as defensive coordinator. But Kyle says they're going to talk to a lot of people.
I think some of the stuff that, you know, just where we're at, you know, some of the decisions that we got to make and things like that. I think having the experience of going through this before, building things before, I think is definitely a bonus for me. It helps me with some stuff. So that's stuff I will look into. But again, you always, regardless, you don't want to put just any handcuffs on your decision. You're going to always try to figure out the best one. And so you got ideas going into that. But just being so early, I'm going to have an opportunity to talk to a number of guys too. So we'll see what that leads us to.
You don't even know if all the guys are out there yet, because Ulbrich, who was the 49ers kind of first guy that they tried to get as DC last year. He's still employed by the Jets. So he hasn't been fired yet based on the new head coach. They could retain him. Jim Schwartz, what happens in Cleveland? Are they going to move on there? So there's a lot more guys that could become available. And yeah, Robert Saleh is definitely probably the easiest because he's been here, but the DC job itself, I mean, it's open. And man, shout out to John Lottie in the super chat. What candidate is best? The available guys who were also fired, who suits the 49ers bully ball philosophy best, in my opinion? I think it's Jeff Ulbrich, but he's not even available yet. Robert Saleh, definitely, because he has been here. But I do kind of want some changes. I really, really do. And so Lou Anarumo definitely has to be involved in that. Dennis Allen, probably of the guys that aren't 49ers guys, fits kind of what our scheme does the most consistently. And that kind of goes with what Kyle's talked about there. So, yeah, Ulbrich, Saleh, those two definitely at the top of the list just because they get us and they run schemes that are literally our scheme. Dennis Allen, similar scheme as well. But Lou Anarumo is probably the most innovative, creative, coming off a terrible season. Now, let's hear from John Lynch again. I want to limit as much as possible of me and get as much as possible from these guys. Here is Lynch's first comment whenever he was asked, what's going on with Trent Williams? And is that like the future? What's that look like?
Trent's doing well. He had a bruise in the, you know, in the ankle joint, and it probably took a little longer than anyone anticipated. But sometimes that happens. And the good news is it's taken a positive turn. Trent's mindset is where it always is. And he's still very interested in being a great player that he is. And I think he's still got a lot left in the tank. So, Trent's committed as ever. And, we love having Trent Williams a part of us.
Love hearing that. Trent's as committed as ever. Obviously, the 49ers contractually, you're kind of at the beck and call of Trent Williams and what happens in the future. But the fact that Trent, it seems, again, this is the same front office. We didn't know we didn't know Joe Staley was retiring until day two of the draft. But it does seem like Trent wants to play. You look at the contract, he even kind of put a lot of, look, there's a lot of per game bonuses. I think it's almost like $750,000 per game bonus left on the next 2 years. So if he did hang it up, he's going to miss out on money, but he's made so much in his career. But that's good news. Now back to Kyle, and I'm trying to stick to the order that the actual press conference went through. So if I'm jumping around, I apologize. These are the clips in order in which I grabbed them. Kyle was asked, what has kind of been the issue with the 49ers? Is it scheme or is it personnel? And again, this is one of the areas where I'm just like, man, I hate how much they kind of put off on injuries. Injuries are a big deal. However, I don't think that was the biggest issue for the 49ers. But here's Kyle, scheme versus personnel on why the 49ers had so many issues.
I mean, it's a little bit of both. First of all, like, regardless of injuries or anything, like, this year is most disappointing to me because regardless of injuries, I feel we should have been a playoff team. And then you never know what happens in there. But when I go back to the hardest thing for me this year was those three games I've talked to you guys about. First one versus LA, first one versus Arizona, second one versus Seattle. I thought we should have won those games and we lost them at the end. But I thought our own mistakes, which means we would have been 8-2 going into week 11. And that was the hardest thing because then we hit some real bad injuries, which were going to be tough. But that's to me what made it steamroll to where we didn't have a chance to make the playoffs. So when I look at that stuff, like, that's the stuff that I feel we got to fix the most. And is that scheme? Is that personnel? I mean, that's football. You got to adjust. I mean, your scheme changes when people are getting hurt, when you can't do exactly what you want to do. It happens on offense all the time. You guys are going to see, I hear it from you guys, but I mean, the offense looks different when a different quarterback gets in there. It looks different when Christian McCaffrey gets in there. It looks different all the time, and that's how defenses can be too. But you have to build it that way so you, because it's really hard to just change something up and 3 days of practice. You got to have that foundation of how you implement it and where you think the season can go. And that's what you really truly try to build in the off season. And then in the training camp. And, you know, that's something I think we'll be better at building this off season, having a little bit more time to do it, being a little more prepared for it. Cause we saw where it went last year. And, that starts with getting a coordinator in here who can help us map that out. And, once we do map that out, it goes right to free agency and how to make sure we can get the best possible situation that we have out of the situation that we're in. And then it goes to the draft. And when that's over, all the guys are here and then you get to work.
It's a brand new year and everybody has New Year's resolutions. Did you know only 8% of people stuck with their last year's New Year's resolution throughout the year? Well, who doesn't want to be better off financially? Well, here's the thing with Acorns. You go to there, Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, your retirement, whatever your financial needs are. And here's the thing, you don't have to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits your goals, and you don't need to be rich. You can start with $5, even just your spare change, and they can round up your transactions. That's what I do personally. I've been using this same feature for at least 4 or 5 years now on Acorns. So whether you don't have time, you don't have a lot of money, it doesn't matter. This is where Acorns comes into effect for you because they help you get there. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. And I am proud to say that this episode is brought to you by Acorns. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investment involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/49ers. It's playoff time, and it's now or never. Don't miss out on the last few weeks of football action with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while you watch the playoffs. And Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, Georgia, and Florida. So sign up today with our code 49ers, 49ERS. Get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So if you think Brock Purdy is going to throw for more than 1.5 touchdowns or Lamar Jackson 250 pass yards the following week, man, that's where it's at. And my favorite thing is it's just simple. You pick two players, more or less, and then you're golden. So download the app today and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly. After you play your first $5 lineup, again, download the app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 instantly after you play your first game on Prize Picks. Run your game.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate the reliance on abandoning the running game because you've got certain running backs that are out, even though you're averaging 4.5 yards per carry, and even though you're playing a team that has multiple running backs out as well, doesn't matter. Abandoning the running game whenever you build your team on play action, run game, misdirection, outside zone, and throwing the ball 35 plus 40 times, that's just not the way this team is built. And so I hate that Kyle just kind of is stuck in that. Yeah, obviously, this is a well-voiced opinion by many. And you shouldn't allow other teams and or injuries to dictate who you are and what your identity is to go away from that. I think that's a mistake. I really, really do. And again, I'm going to keep saying this all year. Injuries are not the reason the 49ers are not in the playoffs. They're not. Did they play a factor? Yes, but they're not the main reason. I don't even think they're a top two reason. I think it's poor coaching, and I think it's you're not evaluating your talent correctly. Literally having Jordan Mason lead the NFL in rush yards to just discard him completely and not allow him to be a factor in multiple games. And some of those were the biggest games of the year. Now, another major criticism against Kyle Shanahan, and Shanahan gets a little salty here and John Lynch steps in to save him. He gets asked, maybe you should change how much you value special teams. And basically, is special teams important to you, Kyle Shanahan?
I mean, what do you mean by I don't take interest in special teams?
Well, you say you know, you're not watching the kicker tryouts and that kind of thing. I know they're off-handed.
Let me help Kyle there. I would tell you, Kyle spends an inordinate amount of time with all phases of our team. Special teams is extremely important in the way we construct our rosters. The time is there. Now, in kicking, neither of us are kicking specialists, so we don't sit here and profess to know everything about kicking and things of that nature. But the time issue, I'm sorry to interrupt, Kyle, but he spends plenty of time there.
I just don't BS you guys.
Yeah.
You turned it around on me there. But no, I just don't BS you guys with that stuff. But to say, like, I mean, we spent some heavy draft picks on special teams players, which I think is an investment. We spent some salary cap on guys. I mean, bringing guys like George Odom, haven't played against fouls here these last couple years. I mean, that's bringing back. Those were special teams decisions. Spent a third-round pick on a kicker. Making special teams changes is why special teams is important to me, because we do work at it. But it's, wasn't good enough this year. I don't put that just on Brian by any means. I mean, losing your kicker, losing your punter, injuries do affect the roster, especially offense and defensively, what it did affect the most was special teams. And I think that was unfair to Brian and a tough situation to put him in. But I do think it's an avenue we can get better in, and you can't change the whole thing out. And so Brian ends up being the fall guy for that, and I really appreciate him. Like, he did have a real good 3 years here and worked his tail off and was very loyal to us and is a very good coach. And he'll bounce back on his feet, and we'll be going against him soon, I'm sure. But, no, special teams is part of football, and everything part of football is extremely important to us.
Yeah, it got close to getting off the rails there. Mucky Boy says, Lynch coming in before Kyle let loose. He almost did, man. And nice save there, says Invader. And Kyle was ready to go. And again, what was the de facto? It was injuries. Well, your kicker got injured. Well, all three of the backup kickers that played this season were better than Jake Moody. Your punter got injured. Well, all two of the punters that came in to replace him, one in training camp and preseason, and then one in the season, were better than Mitch Wisnowski. DFF he cited, which is 100% guaranteed contract. Whenever he was injured, the special teams played better. He was by far one of the worst special teams players we had to start the season. And so, like, injuries were not the reason why our special teams were so bad. It was coaching. It was 100% coaching. I break down every single special teams play. And if you want to join us, the40irishrush.com, the past 4 years, every single special teams play we've broken down, it is poor coaching. It is poor coaching. And I hate that Kyle can't see that. I hate that we have attempted zero fake punts since Kyle Shanahan's got here. Despite every single year, 3 to 4, probably 3 to 6 positive special teams plays, especially fake punts against us, it's a major issue. John, appreciate the super chat. He says, what's it going to take for you to get a press pass? I don't want one. Thank you. You can be our voice, ask the questions. Yeah, that's not my thing. I think we've got so many great beat reporters that do a great job. Plus, if I'm a beat reporter and in there, I don't get a tailgate. That has been kind of well known and made known to me. And that is not, I want to be with the fans. I'm a fan. I don't want to be a beat reporter. I don't want to be objective. I want to increase the fan experience. That is what I want to do. And my role of that is tailgating, bringing people together, 40 hours rush road trips, all those things. And man, I like to wear my jerseys. There's nobody in those press conferences wearing a jersey and a Niners hat. That's who I'm going to be. Now let's get to the next part. So that was special teams. Then Brock Purdy contract talk. Purdy said he wants to get a deal done ASAP. He does not want to miss OTAs. How important is it to get that Brock Purdy deal done before OTAs?
Spring workout start.
Well, listen, I think what we know about Brock is that he's our guy. We've got, you know, we have interest in Brock being around here for a long, long time. He's done so much for our organization. He's won big games you know, had a little tougher task as we all did this year with some of the things that happened throughout the course of the year. We just never could string games where we were all together. And through that, he continued to lead. He continued to play at a high level. So we have every interest in him being around. You know, the way this thing goes, these press conferences are necessary, but always kind of silly because Kyle's coaching. We spend time together all the time, and there's big issues that affect the team. But he's just getting off coaching. He's had his door shut for 2 days doing exit interviews. You know, we were just up, but we were talking about our players. We'll have some time here in the coming weeks to sit together and put our whole plan together. That's obviously a priority, that position, and you know, we'll give it that attention.
So, yeah, and I felt like I'm going to go a little bit out of order here because, you know, this happened later. I want to make sure I have this cut right. So this was not – this question didn't come back up until, I don't know, maybe 10 more questions down the line. But it stays with the Brock Purdy conversation. Kyle Shanahan was asked basically the same thing. How important is it that Brock Purdy is here by OTAs?
Yeah, definitely. It's important to have our whole team back for OTAs. And that's actually, it's you know, last year, you know, it was like 8 weeks after our last game that our guys needed to be back for voluntary work and stuff, which I think is real important. And the year before that, it was like 9 or 10 weeks. So these last two, and then when we all got back, it was like, you could tell we all were back, but, you know, we wish we had a little bit more time. And when I look at a calendar and now I realize we have 14 weeks until we need to get back, like, I expect everyone to be ready to go and, you know, excited to really get this going and play some football. And that starts with Brock. Like, Brock is the leader of our team. I've loved these 3 years with Brock. I plan on being with Brock here the whole time I'm here. So, like, Brock's been a stud. He's a guy I got a lot of confidence in, and just as a human. But it starts with what he's done on the field these last 2.5 years. And we're capable of winning a Super Bowl with him. We just almost did. And I know he's capable of getting the Niners Super Bowl in the future.
I think probably the number one quote that I took away from this entire press conference was, quote, this is Kyle Shanahan, I plan on being with Brock here the whole time I am here, end quote. I think that's huge. So if we're just talking Brock Purdy and how important that is, Shanahan is 100% linking his future. That's exciting because if it's going to be a long-term deal, that's going to give the 49ers a lot of flexibility cap-wise. And so how long Shanahan plans on being here, he talked about his family and the kids at school, how he doesn't want to change it. He doesn't want to be anywhere else. It's here. He will have to be forced out of here. And I don't think we're to that point yet. And I don't think we're anywhere close to that point yet. But I do like the fact that, you know, Shanahan is openly talking about, I want him here. And it's very clear as well. Shanahan and Lynch haven't talked about all this stuff as far as contracts and numbers and how long. They just got finished with exit interviews. They literally talked to every single player on the team, which is, you know, you've got your 53 plus your 17 on the practice squad. So that's 70 interviews in 48 hours, plus coaches, all that stuff. You have meetings with everybody. I've been a part of those from a high school level, obviously, big time difference. But it's exhausting. Takes a lot out of you. And so Kyle and John, I mean, you can't even get your defensive scheme together unless you know the defensive coordinator. So you can't use scouting players, obviously, but you don't know if you're an odd or even front. You're too high shell. You're going to stick with the cover three. There's a lot of questions that have to be answered before all the nuts and bolts get down. And part of that is the Brock Purdy contract. Obviously, Purdy says he wants to get it done. And I think probably some offers are already out there. But, you know, very soft offers. Okay. How much per year, how long, all those types of things. That's kind of stuff that's going back and forth, but I don't even think they've been 100% in on that contract stuff just yet. I think that's one of the things that are going to be changing. Now, we're about halfway through our clips. So real quick, got to pay the bills. And if you haven't bet yet this year, you know where you got to go.
You know, football, you watch all the games, you know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for six straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino, if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit, and MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right, back to the press conferences. Lynch was asked, and this was right after the Brock question, man, it seems like you guys have had so much offseason drama. Why is that, and can you change it?
In the last few off seasons. Yeah, I think every team has a certain measure of that. I think we have a lot of good players, you know, and one of the things that comes with having a lot of good players is it's hard to feed everyone, you know, and you got to make tough decisions. And we're certainly at a point where we've had a five-year run with four NFC championships, two Super Bowls, and you know, you have to go back to the fundamentals of really building the thing. The lifeblood of your organization needs to be strong drafts, because it gives you young players that you have under contract for. And so I think we had seven players that were starters off that draft class, whether we expect them to be, they did, and they gained really valuable experience. I even had free agent guys like Evan Anderson who contributed, you know, a lot. And so I think we're really excited about this rookie class and that movement. We got to continue to add to it. We have 10, probably right now, nine draft choices. We think we'll have 10 with a comp pick. You know, we need to continue to add to it in that way. And hope we continue to have hard decisions, because we have a lot of great players here.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of sidetracked it. And John Lynch, the evolution of John Lynch and word salad, and just, you know, it's just what he does. He's a politician now, which is insane. And I get it. That's his job. And he is the Captain America of the 49ers. But talking about how, you know, they're projected for 9 to 10 picks, they've been projected as high as 11 comp picks. We'll see how that all shakes out. But, you know, something definitely to look forward to. Now, another major issue, this is in regards to the draft and personnel. The 49ers were the worst fourth quarter team in the NFL. The defense finished dead last, 32nd in points allowed in the fourth quarter. Offense was right in the middle, but you combine those two, finished dead last in fourth quarter point differential, which is even more crazy when you figure Steve Wilks and the 49ers finished first last year. Nick Sorensen took them all the way down to dead last, first to 32nd in 1 year. Here's John Lynch talking about, man, why was there so much fourth quarter issues? And again, pay attention to what he blames.
Yeah, I you know, you don't want to have excuses. A lot of our finishers weren't out there, you know. And then on top of it, we still had opportunities. We still put ourselves in good position, and we couldn't get it done. So we have to own that as a team. That's why we're 6-11. We have a high standard. We had high expectations. We fell short of that, and it's our job to fix that. And I know that Kyle and I are committed as we've ever been to doing just that. We don't plan on being in this place. Don't like it. It's terrible to sit home and watch something that you expect yourself to be in the tournament. And we're going to go about the work, and we're excited about the work to do just that. But I do believe we have finishers on this team, and got to continue to add to that. We got to continue to infuse youth and good football players to this team, and we'll do that.
Yeah, I hated that. That one might have pissed me off the most. Drake Greenlaw was really the only player you didn't have all year. That was it. You were the worst fourth quarter team whenever you had Javon Hargrave out there. Talanoa Fuga played 7 games. Nick Bosa was out there almost the whole time. Fred Warner played 17. Malik Collins, 17. Leonard Floyd, 17. Like, Diamondre Lenoir, 15. You had your guys. To go from first to last, like, yeah, there were injuries. And I'm not saying injuries aren't an issue. That's not at all. But to say, we didn't have a lot of our finishers out there, I thought that was total BS. I really, really did. I thought that was the worst answer that was given this entire day. You took no culpability with coaching errors. You took no culpability with innovation, busted coverages, missed tackles, heart. And you watched the end of the Cardinals game. I was there. You laid down. You had people that you paid good money to make business decisions late. Oh, I freaking hated it. I was very, very, very upset about that. Now, let's channel that, and we'll deal with that in the later show. Let's go to one of the finishers. Let's talk about Dre Greenlaw. It was asked to Kyle Shanahan that, man, seems like Dre Greenlaw's significant other posted that they're done here. Is it true that you had a conversation with Dre Greenlaw that he is not here? Here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say.
Don't even know, guys. We haven't spent much time together yet. I've had 2 days with exit interviews with players and coaches. Players don't know either. And that's what's hard for players. They're under contracts. They know when their contract's going to run up. That's an emotional time for players, for their families, for wives, girlfriends, whoever it is, kids, just like it is for coaches when I can't always tell them exactly what their future is going to be the day the season ends. It's tied to a lot of other people. And I've been on that side. I know wives are texting you all day asking what the deal is, and they don't believe that you really don't have an answer yet. And I know what they look like when you walk home through the door and they're like, what are we doing with our lives? And you're like, I don't really know. There's a lot of things that you want to solve so fast for people that is stressful for people sitting in our chairs. But you can't solve everything at once. A lot of things are tied together. And when you hear things like that or Greenlaw, like, we're doing everything in the world we can to bring Greenlaw back. And we're not into losing really good players who are unbelievable people. So we're going to do everything we can to never lose really good players who are good people. But that's also a very hard challenge, very hard. And that's something that you don't just talk about in one meeting. There's too many things that connect to that. Draft, free agency, roster, years, all that stuff. And that takes weeks, months to decide.
So, you know, the idea that you are not done with Dre Greenlaw, I think that's key. And, you know, he even said, like, we want to keep really good players that are good people. Dre Greenlaw fits that. So, you know, if the last 48 hours, we kind of took a hit on, is Dre Greenlaw going to be here? I feel like this is beneficial. How you make those numbers work, we'll see. Off the ball linebackers don't get paid much. But I do have a little bit more hope on Dre Greenlaw. My favorite player on this team has been since he's been drafted. Love that dude. Now, back to John Lynch. They basically asked, like, how do you identify quote-unquote competitors, these guys that will compete in the fourth quarter? And he gives a very specific player example who I think we would all agree is 100% a competitor.
I can't say you always know. Like Juwan Jennings, we don't spend a lot of time watching like highlight tapes off the internet, but up in the draft meeting someone said you should watch this highlight tape, and so we did that with Juwan, and it was insane. It really was. It was so you kind of had an idea of the type of competitor, and I smile when I talk about Juwan because I love the way he plays. I love the way he competes. You know, you don't know on every player, but I think the process and the way we include everybody, the way we We pair personnel staff with coaches, and the thorough process we have, it's a good process. So you find guys like that, and I think we're going to rely on that process and challenge to continue to get better. What we know is when we have consensus up there, we do really well. And, we've done that, and we need to continue to do that.
I thought that last bit was really good. When we've had consensus up there between coaches, scouts, and, the front office, I think that's huge. And I think the 49ers, one of the most constant criticisms of the Niners in the front office is just how stubborn and how Shanahan refuses to adapt. But I go back to the draft philosophy. I think the 49ers have adapted so much since 2017. You go back to that first year, they're not drafted knuckleheads. Reuben Foster, they haven't touched a guy in the draft since then that's like that. They drafted, an inexperienced quarterback, Trey Lance. After that, they didn't draft any inexperienced players. You draft Kinlaw early with, injury issues. Guess what? Those early picks, no injury issues since Javon Kinlaw. So there's a lot of learning and adapting that we're seeing in the draft room. There's still a lot, abandoning the run game in the fourth quarter, all that stuff. Kyle Shanahan's arrogance. I get that. I understand that. However, I constantly go back to the way in which this team identifies talent and how they draft is evolving. Some of the things, the amount of picks spent on wide receivers and running backs and kickers and putters, that's ridiculous. And I hope that that changes. But there's some that is still there. Now, this was probably the longest clip. I think Kyle even got, I don't think like teared up or whatever, but you could tell the emotions start sinking in. And this is a hard thing whenever you are a coach or you are a player and you do go through these issues. The 49ers have gone through so much tragedy. I thought that this was a really good answer from Kyle just about how do you deal with all the off the field stuff. It's not easy.
That stuff's always tough. And I mean, and the football season's so intense for everyone. I mean, that's why anyone who's really been my friend over the last 20 years realizes you're not going to know anything about them for about 7 months because we kind of go into a hole and you get caught up in the season and all that stuff. But we all do have families and stuff out, and that it does weigh on people, but like, you still got to come and you got to do your job. But like, that stuff is hard, and you watch guys go through it, and it's, I think it, you don't like to watch anyone go through something tragic, but you really watch how impressive people can be going through that stuff. Like, it's, when you watch people really grieve and things like that, it's, you realize that's the hardest thing all humans have to deal with. But then to watch people who are grieving so badly and still have to come into a room and then go perform at a high level, which is a whole different type of pressure, and to watch them handle it and get through it, you realize how much stronger some of this stuff makes those guys and then inspires guys around them. And it does make you closer at times. But like, I think our stuff was pretty documented this year. But there's stuff like that every year. Maybe not as big, quite as big, or as many of them. But a lot of teams deal with that stuff, and we've been through a number over these years. And just what going through with Chris Foerster and his wife last year, just her passing away a week before the Super Bowl and things like that. And going through it with Johnny over the years, when him battling his cancer and things like that. Like, it's, everyone has those tough moments in life, but when you have to do it through this, it is unique. But when you go through it, I think it does make people a little bit closer and a little bit stronger for going through some of those moments.
And that's that.
Yeah, it's hard what they've been through, and to go out there and it's weird. Whenever I was coaching, I've lost, my brother, my sister, my father, and a lot of other people. I found out all three of my loved ones all passed away on the practice field, and like how you handle that amongst your team, that's hard. And you can only hope and pray that hopefully they get a break from this and that next year isn't so horrible, off the field. And so that's been hard. Now, transition, and I do like seeing that Kyle, when Kyle is real and Kyle makes himself a little bit vulnerable, I feel like that's when Kyle's at his best. You know, these press conferences, Kyle's made very well known that he doesn't really particularly enjoy them, but I do like it whenever you get to see the human side a little bit more of Kyle. And I thought that that came across. Now, back to a positive, John Lynch was asked about Dominique Pooney and just what he is. And I thought that this, we didn't even know about this. Again, I always say, believe the 49ers in a lot of things, never believe them whenever it comes to injuries. Again, here's another example of that with Dominique Pooney.
It shows that, you know, our process worked there. And, you know, but I would say he really exceeded our expectations. We thought we got a good player. I think he showed us a little more than that. And we were just talking about it upstairs. Everyone saw the real strong play, the consistent play. I think there's more in the tank, you know, of where he can grow. I think the toughness, he dealt with some, you know, he had an AC joint 1 week, and, you know, we were really questioning whether he could play on Sunday, and he practiced on Wednesday. And I've had that same injury. I always prided myself on having a high pain tolerance. That stuff hurts, and he didn't miss a practice. So I think he's got the right mindset too. And, yeah, we got to continue to find guys like Dom, because he's going to be a good player for us.
I like the idea that they think there's a lot more to Pooney, that the ceiling has not been there. If you told me Dominique Pooney played this way for 6 years in a row, man, I would freaking sign that up, extend that dude. So excited. But the fact that they think that there is more, that's pretty exciting. And the fact that he played through an injury, the Niners put a premium on guys that will play through injuries. And, you know, I'm not a Jake Brendel guy. I'm not an Aaron Banks guy as far as their play on the field. But those two are some tough SOBs. I remember one of the clips this year where you could see, you know, I broke it down on the 40irishrush.com and our Patreon channel, where Dominique Pooney's finger, I don't know which finger it was, gets popped out of sight. You see it on the all 22, and he's running downfield to get to the second level, and you see him grab his finger and snap it back into place. Like, they are tough. They might not be great football players, but toughness is a thing that is important to the Niners, and I think that Dominique Pooney kind of exemplifies that. Now, again, going just a little bit out of order, because I think that it applies to this conversation. Now let's go to Kyle Shanahan on Ricky Pearsall and just how this year has been for the rookie, and how it's probably been one of the craziest rookie seasons that's taken place in a long time. But Kyle kind of documents how Ricky Pearsall's rookie season went.
I thought Ricky had an unbelievable season. I mean, I know the gunshot wound is the biggest, obviously, but I've never had a rookie player miss all of OTAs in training camp. And have much of a successful rookie year. It's tough to do that. For him to do that and then get into week one, which I knew he would be way behind because of that situation, and then get a gunshot wound, kind of made me think that we were going to get nothing from him, and just in terms of how could we and how hard that would be on him. But how quick he came back from that, and then when he did, just to watch him go through rookie things in a live NFL game and stuff, and then have to watch him come back from that stuff throughout the year and still hit a rookie wall without a foundation of an offseason and stuff like that. I thought it was a huge success for him this year.
Yeah. I love it. It was hard because, you know, I was at all the practices and training camp, and you never saw 14 out there at all. You never saw 14, never saw 31. Isaac Grindo, non-existent. And, you know, for a fourth rounder, and a first rounder, again, I talked about how the 49ers don't draft injury-riddled players early. Ricky Pearsall never missed a game. In 5 years, he never missed a game at all. Renardo Green didn't miss time. Dominique Pooney didn't miss time. And then what you got later into the fourth round, now you can start to take chances on guys that have been injury-riddled, and that's Isaac Grindo. Isaac Grindo has missed 23 or 24 games because of foot and hamstring issues, missed all of training camp, and missed multiple times in season, just hurt. That's different with a fourth round pick versus a first round pick. So I was so frustrated early on with Ricky Pearsall because it's like, man, this guy's never missed a game and he just can't practice. I think it was like two training camp practices and then finally starts practicing and then the gunshot wound. And it was just like, oh man, that hurts. And to come back, and especially with the past two games, like there is not a lot to take away from the 49ers last two games. But if there's one thing, it's Ricky Pearsall is here. And that dude's going to be a force to be reckoned with. What that looks like with the wide receiver room in the future, we'll see, and we'll debate that this offseason for sure. Now, sticking with, we got two more clips, and I thought that this was really, really interesting. He was asked about Clay Kubiak, who called the plays. For the first time this, you know, ever, Shanahan let Kubiak call the plays during a preseason game. Never did that before. And then, for the first time in his career, he allowed Kubiak to call the last game of the regular season. Obviously, the playoffs were out. But here is Kyle Shanahan talking about Clay Kubiak and kind of what his role is with this offense moving forward.
I thought he did an awesome job, and Clay's role is going to be the same as it's been, which has been the offensive coordinator. He just hasn't had that title yet. I mean, Clay's done as much as anyone on offense for these last 2 years. So this was his second year doing that, and he gets better and better each year at it. Just hasn't had the official title yet, and now he'll get the official title, which he more than deserves. But it's more about, you know, recognizing what he's already been doing and doing at a high level.
That's news that we now have an official OC, which is a big thing. And a lot of the emails and DMs that I get are, man, Shanahan needs a true OC, needs a true OC, needs a true OC, needs somebody to check him. And again, I always kind of push back on that a little bit. Shanahan's never going to give up play calling, but those headsets are active and you've got people in the booth, you got people on the sideline. There's a lot of conversation that goes on, and Kyle Shanahan, you know, got asked, well, who's going to be doing play calling in the future? So if you were one of those Clay Kubiak's going to check Kyle Shanahan and be a play caller, that didn't last too long. Here's Kyle on play calling moving forward.
I'll continue to call plays, but Clay and I have done everything here the last 2 years together, kind of hand in hand. I mean, we put the game plan in together. Yeah, I call it. Only one person can speak to the quarterback, but him, Furster, Fleury, those are the guys I rely on through play calling throughout the game. It's not like I'm just in silence there calling every play. You know, I'm discussing it with the guys we prepared for it with in the week, discussing it with the guys who are talking with their players and what they see. And it's the same thing we all did for Clay versus Arizona.
So Shanahan's going to, that's not going to change. I don't think anybody really expected that, but anyway, that's where it is. So that's the last clip I got. I was not planning on going live again, but if you want to talk DC, that's the earlier show. Go check that out. If it's your first time with us, man, please hit the subscribe button wherever you are. Listen to us, 49ers Rush Podcast. We're live all year. We do not stop. Draft content, you know, 90 player roster breakdown, where we do an episode of all 90 players on the active roster after the draft and free agency. So stick with us. We've been around for a while. I believe this is episode number 1305 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. But I want to say thank you guys, and hopefully you enjoyed this. And man, we'll be live hopefully tomorrow, and we got some renovations happening at the house. So if it's not too loud, I will be live in the morning. But you guys are the best. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close.
Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.